Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are in the thick of the world's most widely viewed and largest single sport event. And every day you probably have read some news about the FIFA World Cup or even watched some highlights. This evening, I would like to share a commentary of the World Cup, a commentary not about the best players or goals, but how the World Cup can bring to life some biblical truths that we can learn from and apply in our church. The Apostle Paul frequently used many sports metaphors in his letters. In the Greco-Roman world, the ancient Olympic Games and the local Isthmian Games held near Corinth were massive cultural events. And Paul tapped into this cultural obsession to explain the intense focus, discipline, and endurance required in the Christian life. Now, football is a team sport where a team of 11 players or more, including the substitutes, work together towards a common goal. And just like a football team, a church is a body of believers working towards a common goal. The common goal of our church is articulated in our church vision statement: to build a united church family that is committed to making disciples of Jesus Christ through salvation, sanctification, and service to the glory of God. Our church vision statement encompasses many biblical injunctions that God gave to his people, such as the Great Commission in Matthew 28, a call unto holiness in 1 Peter 1, and a call to serve others with our gifts as in 1 Peter 4:10. And this vision statement is perhaps worth committing to memory and reiterating more over the pulpit so that we can all work towards this common goal with one mind. So what can the World Cup teach us about working in a team towards a common goal? Many of us have heard the phrase, teamwork makes the dream work. Tonight, I submit to you, teamwork makes the church work. Firstly, teamwork involves everyone exercising their God-given gifts in the church. Secondly, teamwork revolves around everyone and not just someone. And lastly, teamwork evolves from a common purpose. And this will translate into us performing well in our individual roles, performing well as a team, and performing well towards a goal. Firstly, teamwork involves everyone exercising their God-given gifts in the church. Now, if you are an avid football fan, you will know that France is widely tipped to win this World Cup. But what makes France a top team? Experts would say that France has an unrivaled squad depth, where even their substitutes on the bench boasts world-class talent, and they are in hot form with a long winning streak. In simpler terms, France has multiple top talent for every position, whether strikers, midfielders, or defenders, and everyone is performing very well in their role. In the context of the church, we don't have strikers, midfielders, defenders, and goalkeepers, but we have pastors, evangelists, Sunday school teachers, administrators, musicians, PA crew, traffic wardens, and so on. We see this in Ephesians 4:11, where God has defined and provided for various offices in the church, and also in Romans 12:4 and 6, where the body of Christ has many members and different members with different gifts. A team cannot function effectively if it does not have the right people to perform the required functions. Similarly, the church cannot function effectively if its members are not exercising their God-given talents in the church. Hence, we are exhorted in Ephesians 4:16 that the church works well when there is effectual working in the measure of every part. Not some part, but every part. If we have a strong pulpit ministry with clear and faithful preaching, but weak hospitality and fellowship, visitors of the church may become Sunday churchgoers without close ties with the church and in the church. If we have a solid adult Sunday school program with dedicated teachers, but a non-existent children's program, parents with young children will find it difficult to attend the Sunday school if their child caring needs unmet. Even members looking into the church administration heavy equipment, and estate management play an integral role in ensuring the smooth running of the church. Just imagine if room bookings for church and fellowship group events often clash, projector screens and sound systems fail frequently during worship, and the church has pest infestation or falls into disrepair. So let us never be dismissive of the individual roles that each of us play in the church. The church leaders may not have the bandwidth to hold all the members together and supply nutrients or spiritual food to every single member that matches their needs. But you may be that tiny joint connecting the little finger to the hand. You may be that brother or sister in Christ doing a regular one-on-one Bible study with another person. And that role is no less important in God's eyes. Let us never underestimate how God can use our individual effort, however small, to grow His church. If all of us would just bring one friend or loved one to church, Life Church would have 1,000 visitors each year. And if each of us are actively exercising our God-given gifts, imagine how much greater impact we can create for the gospel. Secondly, teamwork revolves around everyone and not someone. Now, one of the greatest football stars is undoubtedly Cristiano Ronaldo. Ronaldo is the top goal scorer of all time. But at the age of 41, many critics say he is well past his prime and at times a hindrance to the progress of his team. In Portugal's opening match against Congo, Ronaldo's desire to score allegedly hindered a goal-scoring opportunity for his teammate and attracted much criticism from pundits, one of whom remarked, "The team needs to score, not you." A superstar defender can make many good tackles. A superstar midfielder may read the game very well. A superstar striker may make many timely runs and set himself up to score. But if there are no coordinated attacks and defenses, no fluid passing of the ball, no chemistry in the gameplay, we can be sure that collectively the football team will not perform up to their potential. It will be a team of superstars and not a superstar team that wins. Ephesians 4:16 tells us that only when every part of the body is working well and working well together or fitly joined together, then the body functions well or maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So do we work hand in glove with one another? Do we try to complement each other's ministries? We have various outreach ministries through the EDD, Student Care Center, Life Children's Club, FEK, and Life's personal evangelism efforts to bring in friends and loved ones to plant the gospel seed. We pass them to Exploring Christianity or Seekers class for the seed to be watered. We then pass them to the Sunday school fellowship groups and MBCs for the seed to germinate in the warmth of the church. And we have been able to pass the ball well across ministries thus far. But let us not take for granted that this will always be the case. Let us keep praying and keep coordinating with one another. There are many more instances where we need to work together within ministries and across ministries, such as moving people up in Sunday school through the years, or across fellowship groups like LTF to YF to YEF, AF, SF, GAF, and so on. Romans 12, 9 and 10 also instruct us that we love without dissimulation or false pretense, and that we be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now, Life Church is not a perfect church, but am I adding to its imperfection by being critical, sowing discord, gossiping about others? Or am I contributing to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ? It is very easy to be an armchair critic and not easy to roll up our sleeves and put our arms to work in improving the church. But let us always choose to be the change that we want to see in the church. Don't criticize the sermon, the worship, the ministry, for the sake of criticizing. We would not have added one iota of improvement to the church by doing so, and may in fact be tearing down and discouraging a fellow laborer in Christ. Even if an individual has room for improvement, let us provide constructive feedback and speak the truth in love to the person. Let us build up and not tear down by praying and offering support to one another. Lastly, teamwork evolves from a common purpose. Now, before this World Cup, I've never heard of a country called Cape Verde. This group of islands off the coast of West Africa has a population that is just over 500,000, or a tenth of Singapore. But despite their size, they held off European champion Spain to a draw in the group stage, went toe-to-toe with World Cup defending champions Argentina, and took them to extra time before narrowly losing 3-2. So while Cape Verde didn't win many matches, they certainly won many hearts. Cape Verde was an underdog team. They had a 40-year-old goalkeeper who doesn't even have a club currently, a player recruited from social media platform LinkedIn, and many players who play for unknown clubs. But these underdogs played with a dogged belief that ordinary players can do extraordinary things together with the right organization, discipline, and unity towards a common goal. They were not eventual champions, but they embodied the mindset of champions to fight on the world stage. How about us as a church? Are we united with the same, if not greater, zeal for the gospel, for the perfecting of the saints, for the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ? As the people of the Most High God, given the highest calling to bring the gospel of salvation to the lost and to help grow and strengthen the body of Christ, can we serve any higher purpose? Have we been slothful in business or fervent in spirit? So may the gospel call be the rallying call for every lifer to play our hearts out for Christ in the gospel field. And may God help all of us to be active players in building a united church family that is committed to making disciples of Jesus Christ through salvation, sanctification, and service to the glory of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with Christ on our team, we are assured of victory because you will build your church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Lord, you do not need our help to defeat sin, death, and Satan, because Christ was the only one capable of doing it on the cross. You do not need our help to win souls, because salvation is the work of the Spirit. But Lord, you are still pleased to employ us in your team, to use broken vessels such as us to bring the gospel to the lost and to build up your church. Forgive us when we have been slothful in using our gifts. Forgive us when we have sought to advance our own interests instead of advancing your kingdom. Forgive us when we have not worked with a zeal that matches our high calling. Lord, we pray that you will set our hearts aflame for the gospel and for your church, and unite our hearts for this cause, that all of your church will come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.